This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Folks, every Tuesday we set aside some time to talk about difference makers in our community that are down in the trenches working hard each and every day to make our community a better place to live, work, and raise our families. It all sounds very cliche, but it's always true, and it's this collective, really incredible effort coming together from so many different people that really make a difference in this place that we call home, and obviously today's no different. I had the opportunity to interview Lowry Cruz a while back, several years ago. He's the founder and CEO of the 18th Ward. And joining us today as well is the executive director of the 18th Ward, Janicia Neely, who is a U.S. Soccer Game Changer Award recipient, Junior NBA Coach of the Year, and Loyola University Athletics Hall of Fame. She went to Cabrini and Loyola, and she started as an AmeriCorps service member and coach, and is now the executive director at 18th Ward. And Lowry was a veteran teacher, school administrator, dad, coach, 20 years of experience in designing, leading, and managing programs. And this program has been growing exponentially for a long time and gets a lot of praise for what they do because it's all about kids and athletics. Folks, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us, Newell. It's good to be back.
Yes, sir. And Janicia, welcome to the show and congratulations on your position.
Thank you, Newell. Appreciate the time being back.
So if you would, for the benefit of the listening audience, tell us a little bit about the mission of 18th Ward.
Yeah, Newell, I think it starts with our vision. So, and that's an equitable New Orleans where everyone can thrive. And so I think that's where we really align with some of our NOLA coalition partners. We all want our kids and families to thrive in an equitable city. And so our mission is using sports to move that along. So to reach this vision, we have high quality sports programs for youth and a workforce development program. So from ages 3 to 13, you can play lots of different sports, and Janicia and our coaches do an amazing job with those. And the workforce development is for our 14 to 24 year olds. So we've got just an incredible group of high school and college students who work with our young people. They lead, and they're great role models for kids across the city.
And Janicia, I was looking at your website, and it's interesting and disappointing the underrepresentation of minority kids that are actually involved in organized physical activities across this country.
Yeah, I mean, we try to promote access, and so we pride ourselves on providing something, whether it be a sport or providing programs that include everyone. We want our space to be one that is inclusive regardless of skill, gender, or any of the barriers that exist that keep kids from playing. And so we do this by training our coaches, providing a high quality space that is encouraging and welcoming to everyone who wants to be a part.
Go ahead, Newell.
No, go ahead.
I think the national research says that cost is the number one reason that kids don't play sports. Sports are too expensive. And so anyone can play for an entire season for $5. The kids that we interact with in our school programs are able to play for free. And so if we want more kids participating, we've got to lower the cost.
Absolutely. Lowry, I think, and Janicia, I think, Janicia, you may have been on with us the last time we spoke as well. One of the big barriers was access to facilities. Where do we stand there now?
Well, we're going to be in 18 different locations during this fall season, and that's partnerships with schools, with churches, with neighborhoods. We've got a partnership with Nord, and they give us access to 3 fields that we can use for soccer to expand that across the city. So we're at Norman Playground in Algiers, at Easton in Mid-City, and Digby in New Orleans East.
And if you would, for the listening audience, I mean, your program is huge. I mean, one of the biggest that I'm aware of. I think y'all had 3,000 kids that will probably participate this year. I think it starts after Labor Day. And is there still an opportunity for kids to register?
There's always
registration.
Opportunity.
Go ahead, Janicia.
Yeah, I was going to say, I completely agree with Cruz. There's always an opportunity and an opening to play with us. Registration is open still for a few of our programs. And so, yes, if you have a child who is looking to play, do visit our website. There's always an opportunity.
And we'll have about 10,000 kids throughout our programs this school year. We started with 40 kids about 5 years ago. Had about 6,000 last school year. And then we were able to increase capacity this summer, working with some of our schools and served about 2,000 kids. So, yeah, we'll have over 3,000 alone just this fall season.
So let's talk not only what is being provided for the kids 3 to 13 in these programs that are going to be starting after Labor Day, but you guys hire folks, young adults from 14 to 24 years of age. Over 200 jobs are created, and you guys pay well, and that's a great opportunity for a number of kids and young adults.
Yeah, our starting pay is at $15 an hour, and our coaches have the opportunity to earn up to $25 an hour. And so through the program, they get an opportunity to really develop their leadership skills, become more competent communicators. And the goal really is for, yes, they start at the $15 an hour, but as they become more comfortable, as they continue to develop and learn, the goal is for us to give them a little bit more responsibility and then have the chance to earn more. So it's a great job. It's a great starter position. And really, they get to learn a good bit of transferable skills that would then help them in whatever it is that they want to do once they graduate on from us.
Janicia, I got to imagine that some of y'all probably have kids now that were participants then, but now are working as coaches and the like now, right?
Yeah, so we've been around for 5 years now, and we have been able to see the pipeline come into full fruition. Proud to say this season, the after-school program that Cruz and I started in the very beginning, we've had a few of those participants grow to become leaders in one of our flagship programs. So it's really beautiful. It's a great thing to see. And what's even cooler is that if they stay in New Orleans for school or if they stay after they graduate high school, there's even more of an opportunity to continue to grow and remain a part of the pipeline.
Lowry, if you would, I mean, going back to the very beginning, I can't imagine that anybody would have thought that y'all would reach as many children as you reach. But what I love about, if you would talk about the importance of after-school program. I mean, a lot of folks are working hard, trying to do the right thing, trying to make a difference for their kids. They don't have a lot of flexibility. One of the downsides to some of the lower-income paying jobs is you're not nimble. You don't have flexibility. And it's hard for folks to get home in time when their kids get off school. And that's why these after school programs are just so damn important, right?
They're critical. I mean, our kids need something positive to do after school. We really key on the hours between 3 and 7 p.m. And every child deserves to be in a safe space, to be in a positive environment, to be able to learn and grow, and then not be able to not cost their family money that's not in their budget. And so we've got hundreds of high school and college students who are eager to be role models throughout the community. And that's why we try to be where we're needed. We try to partner with schools because schools have a lot of responsibility already. So if we can come in and support them and their students, and students don't have to catch a bus home at 3:30 and perhaps no one's home because they're working, we'd rather them stay around after school and get some healthy activity, get some snacks. And one of the things we love about our school programs is that we're able to introduce kids to our sort of model and our community. And then often on the weekends, we'll see them come. And then they'll get to mix and mingle and develop friendships with kids from 22 different zip codes, 90 different schools, all 17 wards. And that's where we really see the community across neighborhood lines, across economic and racial lines.
Yeah, I mean, it's really great to hear that level of success. And Janicia, I think you guys have some upcoming events, some partners, corporate partners that are helping with y'all. I was reading one, Cocktails for a Cause, which is celebrating the 75th anniversary of the Carousel Bar. I shouldn't be ashamed to say this. I kind of like hanging out at the Carousel Bar, but I didn't realize it. The 75th anniversary was coming up, so I might have to get clued in on that sooner rather than later. But tell us about that event.
Yeah, anyone in the community who wants to come celebrate the Hotel Monteleone and the Carousel Bar and the 18th Ward, myself and some of our staff and board members will be around on September 18th during happy hour just to tell folks about what we're doing in the community and to celebrate with the hotel. They've been a great supporter of ours. And, you know, we love bringing people together. So it's a great opportunity for folks to meet and build community.
And then there's the NFL turf field ribbon cutting in October. Tell us about that event.
This feels like a long time coming. We partnered with the Bayou District Foundation that redeveloped the old St. Bernard projects after Katrina. And so Columbia Park has sort of become our home base for the last 4 years, where we do a lot of programming weeknights and weekends. And so the NFL Grassroots Foundation donated some money so we could build a state-of-the-art turf field for our kids. And Janicia has done an incredible job helping us expand our soccer programming through U.S. Soccer and Major League Soccer, and also our NFL flag football program. Not just for boys, the girls flag football program is growing. And so they're going to have a field to call home and to play games on and just to play on a space that's not just another patch of grass, a place that's sort of reflective of how we value students in our community.
Absolutely. And a turf field these days are critical. 1 year it's a drought and the next year it's too much rain, right? I mean, you just can't win for losing sometimes when it comes to field maintenance.
We're ready to play on that field 365 days a year.
So, folks, Janice, I always like to ask those that are, you know, running programs like this if they have a favorite success story to share.
Yeah, a few come to mind. I like to think about the beginning a lot and how far we've come and how much growth we've been able to see. This makes me think of a particular student who went through our initial after school program, and soon after became a coach. But as a coach, he was a bit shy. You would hear his voice, a good job, a great work every now and then. And this season, I'm happy to say, he's going into his senior year, and now he is a station leader. And so he's the person who is leading the entire group. He'll see hundreds of kids, and all of them will have an impact because of his growth and because of his commitment to the 18th Ward, but more importantly, just to himself and to his own leadership development. So those are my favorite stories. I think that we exist for that reason. We want to be a part of the growth and just confidence development of our students, of our kids. And so I'm proud to say that story is not unique to us. We have seen quite a few kids who've gone through the pipeline just really come into themselves and really, really grow into a person that, you know, they can be proud of, their family and community can be proud of. So lots of stories like that. And, you know, I'm hopeful that we'll continue to have more of those.
I love those types of stories. Lowry, for you?
I mean, the city's future leaders are coaching in our programs right now, and it's a beautiful thing to witness. And if we're willing to make long-term investments in our kids, we can even think about the kids who are playing right now. Our 10-year-olds, in 5 years, they're going to be leading in the same programs they grew up in. In 10 years, they're going to be, you know, graduating college and entering the workforce with a set of transferable skills, whether that's communication and teamwork from playing in our programs, or the sort of the leadership capacity and confidence that comes from our coaching programs. And so, you know, we've got a model that's proven to work, and that's why the majority of our full-time staff came through our coaching program. And the majority of our students are persisting through college. They're set up to achieve their dreams because they made money as a coach, which gave them some financial security to just worry about studying and being successful. So, you know, one of my seventh and eighth grade students, I coached him in football, basketball. I coached him. I even made him play soccer because he sort of had an off season and he just wanted to stick around school and play. But he's a big part of the growth of our flag football program. And just proud to see several of my middle school students now join us on full-time staff, several of my former elementary students who are now part of our coaches and training program. And so this solution we have, I think the challenge for us is to scale it because there's about 100,000 kids under the age of 24 in our city, and we're only reaching about 10,000. So where are all the children after school? What are they doing? And how can we as a city invest more deeply in their long-term trajectory?
No doubt. You know what I love about your program? Our kids are not necessarily the leaders of tomorrow, but they can absolutely be the leaders of today if given an opportunity. When you think about, you know, just setting an example for your peers, these younger kids as coaches and the like, it's just so incredibly important in the development of young children. And I just love to hear these success stories. Never get tired of them. Just absolutely love them. Love the work that you guys are doing. Please keep up the great work. If someone wants to donate or get involved with your organization, where would they go?
Well, they can come to the Hotel Monceon and Carousel Bar on September 18th, or they can visit our website, the18thward.org.
And that's the number 18, 18thward.org. Both Lowry Cruz and Janice Neely, thank you so much for joining us. Best of luck. Keep up the great work. We'll visit again in the near future. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
All right, folks, thank you. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We'll visit with Bernie Pinsonot, political analyst, get an update on the presidential race.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Left 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Bernie Pinsonot, political analyst. Bernie, welcome to the show.
Hey, Sheriff. Good morning.
Good morning to you. So we are now in the post-DNC convention era. Both the Republicans and Democrats have had their convention. What are you seeing? What are you feeling as it relates to any particular size of the bump that Kamala Harris may have received or not?
I think she got a bump, but not so much in anything else. Just in, I think, with the help of the media, with her campaign team and the way it presented her, I think they took away the early expectations by the Republicans that she was disorganized, not a good candidate, and all those things, and she would be easy to beat. I don't think that she's ahead of Trump, by any stretch of imagination, or is he ahead of her. This country is evenly divided. There is no give or take by each side. The polling data shows, depending on what polls you look at, they're virtually tied nationally. But you have to go deeper into the individual states that, you know, that'll actually decide the elections, you know, like North Carolina, Virginia, Tennessee, Ohio, you know, Wisconsin, those type states that are what we call in play.
So a lot of endorsements. Tulsi Gabbard, RFK Jr. endorses Trump. A number of folks aligned with leading Republicans line up with Kamala Harris. There seems to be a lot of crossover happening this election cycle, more so than I've seen in a long time. What role does that play?
I don't think it plays that big a role. I don't think it means that much. Again, let me say the polling's pretty specific. You'll have Trump at 43 and Kamala Harris at 42 or vice versa. So, you know, Will Republicans go out and vote in record numbers trying to elect Trump? Will the Democrats go out in record numbers? You know, it's a get out the vote. Who voted? Who did they vote for? In Georgia, upper, say, middle-class women 4 years ago deserted Trump. In some of the battleground states, he lost women. The Democrats suffered almost humiliating defeats when they were winning in the polls up until Election Day, and the Democrats quietly were behind the scenes spreading the word about the evils of the Republicans and abortion, whereas you're watching Fox News and everybody else, you'd have thought the Republicans were going to clean house. Well, they did not. There are things going on behind the scenes, and these campaigns are making moves that don't see it immediately in polls. You don't see, but you see it, you know, at the ballot box. And when you start counting and you look at the demographics, something that one or the other was doing made a huge difference in a particular state. And if that state happens to be Georgia, unlikely Florida, because they registered so many Republicans, but Pennsylvania, the Democrats literally didn't do anything 2 years ago, and everyone thought they were going to clean house. And along came the abortion issue, and it turned out to be predominant, and they basically stayed the same. In fact, Democrats kept the Senate, which was remarkable, since there were polls showing that it may be 3 or 4 senator margin for the Republicans, and none of that occurred. So, again, there are things that are happening that will happen that we may not be privy to, because those campaigns are driven with the media and with mailers and with volunteers walking the streets that don't show up in a national survey.
So, everyone's looking for that kind of that silver bullet issue that independents or others or undecideds, grab onto. Do you think it exists, or is it just an illusion?
Well, it will that occur? That's a good thought. By the way, that is what both sides are hoping. Something they do, something that they stumble onto, maybe just stumble onto an issue that'll catch fire and drive them with a lot of energy the last 2 weeks, the last week, and it'll be what. What wins for Trump or wins for Harris? It potentially, if it's big enough, it'll shape the elections in the House and Senate. So it's called momentum. If they can find an issue that drives momentum for either side, I mean, that's the biggest fear of any campaign is, will the other side, who will have the momentum, and what issue will trigger that? We don't know. We won't start seeing that phase of it till around October. Then we can start looking for stuff like that across the state, looking at polls on issues and who's winning on what issue. Is the border, is inflation, is abortion going to be a big issue in the background with blue state voters? We just don't know. It's a little early. The campaign rule, all these campaigns really start after Labor Day, which is coming up. But by the first week of October, then you're starting to get a sense of is an issue starting to make its way clear of the rest of it and becomes the burning issue. And it's still a little too early for that.
How much risk is it, though, to test these things? In my monologue today, I talked about this price gouging test that the vice president engaged in her DNC speech. It seems as though a lot of mainstream Democrats are kind of backstroking on the issue in their attempted defense of what she said. They're basically telling their allies, don't worry about the details. It's never going to pass Congress. And they're saying people have taken what the vice president said in her speech out of context, that she merely just wanted to people to know how seriously she was taking escalating prices at the grocery store. They're obviously walking it back because I got to imagine they threw it at the wall and it didn't stick very well.
Well, you know, you have to look at their internal polling and what audience they were looking at. I mean, when you're talking about poor people, who live off of a lot of government, and so the prices dramatically affect them, they also may not be the most educated people in society. So they throw stuff like that at people just to, they know that, oh, that sounds good. Being practical, no. The majority of voters, no. You know, Democrats are good at every day having something for somebody to give them a reason to vote. Because their base is, you know, a lot of people who are in government need. So they're constantly throwing these off-the-wall, I guess you'd say, solutions to problems, whereas you and I will say, gee, what a stupid idea. We know price controls can, you know, destroy our economy, whole segments of it. But they're using that to let their voters know that she's thinking about them, price controls. They don't understand or may not know the consequences of what that eventually does. But it rings true with a certain segment of their, all the Democratic voters. So, yeah, she threw it against the wall, but she also has an audience she was interested in, too.
Yeah. Interesting, though, that just, you know, they walking it back. And I guess, as you point out, in certain circles, that's the case. And then in other circles, they'll continue to repeat it over and over again. Anything that has surprised you thus far since the passing of the DNC?
I wouldn't say surprised. I think you and I saw it coming, the Trump attacks on Harris and how silly they were. You and I have been doing this long enough, and if you've ever been in any type of campaign, those attacking is one thing, but successfully attacking is another. You can turn off voters if you have to, you know, but the more personal the attacks are, the more the public gets tired of them, doesn't want to hear them, because most people don't operate that way on a daily basis. Being involved in personal attacks with your coworkers or friends or relatives, you know, it's iffy at best, and that's Trump's standard operating mode. And the amount of flack he caught from it, the donors, the if you're reading the Fox News, CNN, they're all hounding him about, what are you doing? You know, you're running against a woman. That's the first thing. You're not running against Joe Biden. The woman thing is important because people are more sensitive about anybody attacking a woman for any reason. So my point is that Trump ran into, and I thought it was necessary, by the way, I thought it was necessary to shut him up and point out that let's win on the issues. You're not going to win by attacking her personally. You're turning off and you're in danger of hurting yourself even further with female upscale Republican women. And Trump, I think, has figured it out. He's been much more interesting to watch as a candidate without all the personal stuff. He seems to be talking about the economy. He seems to be talking about his accomplishments. So that was a surprise to me. I think it was so bad for him over about a 10-day stretch that he's finally figured it out and backed off. Now, you and I know he has the discipline of a house cat, so I don't know. But that part of it surprised me, but I also think, and you know, your political background, you just can't do that. And it's one of the things, I don't know if it caused him to lose to Biden, but he was so he was so off-center and so undisciplined against Biden the last 2 weeks. I think that was what hurt him more than anything. So for him to become disciplined, we'll see. But I'm impressed for the last 10 days. He has been somewhat disciplined.
Yeah, I mean, there are those that have said he is starting to win more of the news cycles, and you know, it's gonna, he won't let anyone outwork him. But I agree with you. Sometimes attacking is necessary, but it has to be done in a sophisticated way. And unfortunately, the way that Donald Trump presents his messaging, saying that it is sophisticated would be a stretch of anyone's imagination, right? Right. I mean, he just doesn't have it within. He's a street fighter. I mean, let's just be honest. I mean,
well,
he likes to get
seen
in there and tumble and rumble and whatever else, you know, however else you wanted to describe it. But he's comfortable doing that.
Well, you and I watched campaigns over the years, and then the guy who's come to Louisiana named Dino Cedar, he worked originally at Shreveport. But he was able to, when a successful attack ad is one that has levity in it, and it has sarcasm, and it does the damage, but it's not vicious. It's done so that the person in hearing it is okay with it, because it was done with a sense of, I guess you'd say, you know, comedy, sarcasm, mm-hmm. and it has to be done correctly. Those ads can either kill you or make you, and most of us, when, as you know, you pay these people to come in and run these ads, and you got a pollster like myself and other people, and then the trick is, okay, we found this vulnerability, we know this, so we find out something. So the trick is, can that guy deliver an ad and put it on television that has this balance to it? And Trump has never had any balance to his attacks. It's, you know, it's vicious. Some of it is petty. He overdoes it. He's redundant. It worked for, I think, where we go back, and you remember when he first ran for president, he was running against all of the rhino Republicans, they used to call them. Those attacks were funny and somewhat, because a lot of those Republicans who ran for president against him, like, you know, the Bushes or the all the other cast of characters, Rubio, they're all rhinos, and Trump was able to destroy them with his vicious attacks. But when when you cross the aisle and you're trying to get everybody to vote for you, got independents and all these other people may not like that. So discipline and the ability to attack is difficult, and it has to be done with special care. And you got to monitor it to make sure that it doesn't, you know, wear out too well. Even though it's good, it only lasts for a period of time. You want it to damage them, but you can only damage them so long, and then the ad wears out. It doesn't have any impact.
And you know, what a lot of people forgot too, Bernie, is that the first time he ran against Hillary Clinton, and Hillary Clinton was as disliked by some within the Democratic Party and outside the Democratic Party as Trump was within the Republican Party and outside the Republican Party. So there were a lot of, you know, motivations going on there on the sidelines that were a lot different than his race against Biden. It'll be a lot different than his race against Harris, for certain. We've run out of time. Bernie Prince and I, thank you so much for joining us. Always appreciate your time and your insight. Have a great week.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Enjoy talking to you anytime. Thank you.
Same here, sir. We'll be right back. Stay with us. A lot of what is going on, too, is the nature of the delivery of the attack. I've got several texts talking about, well, you know, they've called Trump all kinds of name, racist, misogynistic, this, that, and otherwise. Why is he not able to respond in kind? It really is the nature of the attack and how caustic it may be. And that's why I said there's a very sophisticated way to attack in politics. And I think Bernie Pinsenot laid it out well as to, you know, what it is that you're trying to accomplish, so forth and so on. He talked about Dino Cedar, and Dino did do it with a touch of levity. I never forget, in one of Harry Lee's races, he represented Harry, he represented me when I ran. You know, he made like almost cartoonish characters out of certain things. Like he took an ice cream cone and referred to Harry's opponent as Mr. Softy on crime, and the ice cream cone was melting, and then talked about cases that this individual had handled while working in the district attorney's office. And, you know, that commercial actually won a whole bunch of national awards, but it was presented in such a fashion. It was hard-hitting. It was a hard-hitting commercial. But it wasn't something that was personal. You know, like, it's hard when Donald Trump goes to the mic and calls Kamala Harris stupid. Those are things, as a candidate, you just don't do. I mean, if you want to say less than honest or not really up to snuff on economic principles and doesn't understand how the economy works, those are all fair characterizations. But when you get down really in the dirt and call someone stupid, obviously, she has a level of intellect to be able to accomplish and make it through, you know, the universities that she's attended, advanced education. She's a lawyer. She's not stupid. I mean, your ideologies don't align, but that doesn't make someone stupid. You can agree to disagree. And that's just kind of, you know, right off the top of, you don't do those things. And so when you do that, there's a shift as it relates to the cordiality of campaigning. It doesn't exist anymore the moment that you go there, you know, and then the gloves come off, and then this whole thing continues to go downhill. And sometimes they reach a point of no return. That's why I consistently, you know, tell folks, you're trying to get votes, not lose votes. I mean, you don't want to stimulate the other side to go work harder to defeat you because of your words. And I think that's what Bernie was talking about, in being disciplined as to how your messaging is on particular issues. All right, folks, we got to get to a break. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Folks, when we come back after the top of the hour news break, we'll visit with Joshua Besiches, Assistant Professor, Department of Political Science at the David and Jane Flowery, Assistant Professor of Public Policy and Environmental Studies at Tulane University. We're going to be talking about the U.S. electric vehicle boom and how that's ushering in a potential new crisis, because the gas tax system is something that is accounted for at the pump, and it's evaporating with EVs. A lot of what is going on, too, is the nature of the delivery of the attack. I've got several texts talking about, well, you know, they've called Trump all kinds of name, racist, misogynistic, this, that, and otherwise. Why is he not able to respond in kind? It really is the nature of the attack and how caustic it may be. And that's why I said there's a very sophisticated way to attack in politics. And I think Bernie Pinsenot laid it out well as to, you know, what it is that you're trying to accomplish, so forth and so on. He talked about Dino Cedar, and Dino did do it with a touch of levity. I never forget, in one of Harry Lee's races, he represented Harry, he represented me when I ran. You know, he made like almost cartoonish characters out of certain things. Like he took an ice cream cone and referred to Harry's opponent as Mr. Softy on crime, and the ice cream cone was was melting, and then talked about cases that this individual had handled while working in the district attorney's office. And, you know, that commercial actually won a whole bunch of national awards, but it was presented in such a fashion. It was hard-hitting. It was a hard-hitting commercial. But it wasn't something that was personal. You know, like, it's hard when Donald Trump goes to the mic and calls Kamala Harris stupid. Those are things, as a candidate, you just don't do. I mean, if you want to say less than honest or not really up to snuff on economic principles and doesn't understand how the economy works, those are all fair characterizations. But when you get down really in the dirt and call someone stupid, obviously she has a level of intellect to be able to accomplish and make it through, you know, the universities that she's attended, advanced education. She's a lawyer. She's not stupid. I mean, your ideologies don't align, but that doesn't make someone stupid. You can agree to disagree. And that's just kind of, you know, right off the top of, you don't do those things. And so when you do that, there's a shift as it relates to the cordiality of campaigning. It doesn't exist anymore the moment that you go there, you know, and then the gloves come off, and then this whole thing continues to go downhill. And sometimes they reach a point of no return. That's why I consistently, you know, tell folks, you're trying to get votes, not lose votes. I mean, you don't want to stimulate the other side to go work harder to defeat you because of your words. And I think that's what Bernie was talking about, in being disciplined as to how your messaging is on particular issues. All right, folks, we got to get to a break. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Folks, when we come back after the top of the hour news break, we'll visit with Joshua Besiches, Assistant Professor, Department of Political Science at the David and Jane Flowery, Assistant Professor of Public Policy and Environmental Studies at Tulane University. We're going to be talking about the U.S. electric vehicle boom and how that's ushering in a potential new crisis, because the gas tax system is something that is accounted for at the pump, and it's evaporating with EVs.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier, and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback, on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.